Hallelujah. We're going to conclude this series of messages from Ephesians chapter 5 through verses 1 through 20. And then we'll close this out. But this is part 3 of a 3-part sermon series that we began a couple of weeks ago in light of all the things that we've been experiencing, the times in which we live. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll pick up at verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 5. And the title is The Christian's Response to Times Like These. The Christian response to times like these. The Christian response, not the world's response, but the Christian's response for times like these. And the scripture that we have is Ephesians 5, but also reference Matthew 24:12. It says, and because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. And I told you all, I've been saying it over and over and over again, y'all, it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. As a matter of fact, even last week, if you think about it, by the time we got home from church, from hearing the message about our response in these evil times, I'm talking about how bad things are getting. By the time we got home last Sunday, we discovered that more police officers had been shot in an ambush. Someone took it upon themselves to kill innocent police officers. And so, and then on top of that, we throughout the week, if you've been watching and paying attention, we saw a shooter just cut loose in Germany, just killing innocent teenagers. Killing innocent teenagers. And I just come to remind everybody under the sound of my voice that it's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. But the question is, what will your response be during times like these? As a Christian, what will your response be during times like these? And for those who missed last week, I'm going to just go real briefly giving you the points that we shared on last week. The very first thing that we said last week, according to verse 1 of chapter 5, is that we ought to simulate the character of God. We ought to simulate the character of God in these last days, not that we can be God, and there are certain attributes of God that you and I cannot obtain as far as his omniscience and his omnipotence. But there are characteristics of God and attributes of God that you and I can simulate, which is love, goodness, kind, merciful, all of those things we can simulate. We also said that during these times, secondly, is that we're to offer sacrifices of love that will smell good to God. Offer sacrifices of love that will smell good to God. We found that in verse 2. And in the times in which we live, understanding how many folks' love is growing cold. Many of the people that we're living with, even now in the times in which we live, their love is growing cold. But we're to offer God sacrifices of love that smells good to Almighty God. And that was the question that we posed last week, is what do you smell like in the nostrils of God during this time, during these times in which we live? What aroma, what's going up into the nostrils of God from your life? Or is it an offering of love that's sweet smelling in the nostrils of God? And then thirdly, we said we're to maintain separation in the midst of sin. We had all S's. We're to maintain separation in the midst of sin. Say separation. That was verses 3 and 4, that as believers, you and I cannot become like the world. We have to maintain our identity as Christians and come from among them. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from every form of evil. Even if it looks bad, I don't want any parts of it, because we're called to be separate. And then we said, fourthly, that we're to share with people the severe consequences of practicing sin. We're to share with people the severe consequences of practicing sin. That was found in verse 5 and 6. Many people believe that you can live any kind of way and as a child of God and still make it to heaven. But that's a lie that the enemy has told so many people, that I can be this way, or I can live this way, or I can do this and I can do that and still go to heaven. No. There's no such thing. We shared this over and over. There's no such thing as a Christian alcoholic. There is no such thing as a Christian drug addict. There's no such thing as a Christian homosexual. However, there may be those who are born again that are saved who struggle in those particular areas. They may struggle with alcohol. They may struggle with drug. They may struggle with homosexuality, and they want to get out of it, and they know it's not right. But those people who say, this is who I am, this is who God made me, that is a lie straight from the devil, and you are not going to heaven that way. You're not going to heaven that way. And we need to be able to share with people the severe consequences of sin, that hell is a real place. Hell is a real place, and those who reject the truth of God's word will spend eternity in hell. Those who reject Jesus Christ, who is the truth, who is the embodiment of truth, those who reject Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell. And it's our responsibility in the times in which we live is to share with people the severe consequences of sin. Amen. Those were the 5 points, and the 4 points, and we pick up at number 5. Here it is, number 5, as we conclude this message. Number 5, we must stop sleeping and start shining for Christ. Amen. We must stop sleeping and start shining for Christ. Say, stop sleeping, start shining. Stop sleeping, start shining. Verses 7 through 14, it says, look, therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason, it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Christ will shine on you. We are now to stop sleeping and start shining for Christ. If ever was a time for the saints of God to be awake and shine into the glory of God, it's right now. Amen. It's right now. We live in a dark day. Listen, light is that which gives visibility. Light is the brightness that enables us as human beings to see. Lights are meant to shine. Lights are meant to give direction. Not only that, light also represents morality and good ethics. And as this world gets darker and darker, you and I as Christians, those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, as this world gets darker, our lights ought to be radiating. Our lights ought to be shining brighter, brighter, brighter. Look, if anybody is going to know what it means to be right or know what it means to do right, if they're ever going to find out what it means and how to do it, it's got to come from the people of God. Amen. It has to come from the people of God. Look, if people are going to see Jesus, it has to be from his body. We are the body of Christ. Amen. If they want to see Jesus, they ought to be able to see him through us who are the body of Christ. Amen. Listen, Philippians 2:15 says this. It says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. This is what we're to do. We're to live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. And here it is. Verse 7 says this. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Why is he telling us that? Why is Paul telling us that in verse 7? Well, we have to understand something, that when we're participating with them, they can't see the light. No. As we're participating with them, then the vision gets messed up and the glory of God cannot shine through us because we're with them. Let me give you some backup. Israel, in the tabernacle of Israel, as they erected that tabernacle, the glory of God descended upon that tabernacle. Now, what happened is when Israel sinned, and when there was sin in the camp, the glory of God would depart from that tabernacle. Because light and darkness can't dwell together. God is holy, and God does not fellowship when it comes to sin. And what happens in you and our lives, if we're not shining, if we're constantly living in sin, the radiance, the glory of God can't be seen on us. Let me give you another passage. In 1 Samuel 4:21-22 says this. And she called the boy Ichabod. She called the boy Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God," which represents the presence of God, "the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God was taken." This is the woman, Phinehas and Eli. Eli's sons, Phinehas, his wife, had a child, but because of sin, the nation of Israel sinned, and they were attacked by the Philistines, and the Philistines took over the temple, and they took out the ark of God, which represented the presence of God. But it was because of their sins that the glory of God had departed, and God stamped Ichabod. Ichabod, which means the glory of God has departed. And you and I cannot live in sin. We cannot allow sin to reign in our body lest God stamp Ichabod on our lives. And there's no glory of God radiating on the people of God. Listen, now is the time for us to have the glory of God radiating from us. That's what it means. That's why we can't partake in all of these things of the world. That's the problem with the church. The church is not radiating the glory of God because we're so caught up in this world stuff. Amen. We're caught up in this world stuff, and that's the problem. There's a problem distinguishing who's true and who's not. Who's a Christian and who's not. So many people are naming Jesus Christ, but you can't tell. The walk is not lining up with the talk. The walk is not lining up with the talk, and there's a problem. And the only way that we can really expose the darkness is that when we begin to shine as light. Amen. We have to shine as light. There's a problem. There's a problem. 2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "What fellowship has light with darkness?" Y'all ever been in a dark room? You've been in a dark room. It was dark in here earlier. But the moment the lights come on, the darkness has to go. I don't care how dark that room may be. It can be pitch black dark to where you can't even see the front of your hand. But if you took a match and you struck that match and all of that darkness, that one little match would light up an entire room. But can you imagine when all of God's children begin to shine the way God wants us to shine? You talking about lighting some stuff up in this dark world. We'll light this world up. Jesus had 12 and they turned the world upside down. Turned the world upside down. But what if all of God's children begin to shine the way God wants us to shine? The reason this world is so dark is because we're not shining like we ought to be shining. Have I got a witness? Listen, the fruit of the light. We're to represent fruit of the light. This is the evidence that you are a child of light. See, you got to understand something. We're not just in the light, we are the light. We are the light. We're not just in the light, we are the light. So anytime we walk in a room that's dark, things ought to change. Amen, amen. Listen, when you walk in, if they cussing and you walk in that room, they ought to stop cussing because of the light. I'll never forget working at HEB. I remember at HEB and we go on break. And these guys would get to the point where they just cussing up a storm. I mean, doing break, telling jokes, cussing, just clowning, just straight up clowning. And I remember one day the Spirit of God told me to just say Jesus loud. I said, right now? Right now. And I said, Jesus. Can I tell y'all what they did? They got real quiet. I didn't hear another cuss word. I didn't hear another joke, dirty joke, because there's something about the name Jesus. Won't you say it one time? Jesus. Say it one more time. Jesus. There's something about the name of Jesus. All I said was Jesus, and all that cussing had to go. And see, when God's children reflect the light of God, when we walk in a room, the atmosphere ought to change because of who we are. Have I got a witness? It ought to change because of who we are. But the fruit of light is evidence that we're children of light by goodness and righteousness and truth. And we are called to shine in these dark, evil days. Dark, evil days. And see what the enemy wants to do, what Satan. Satan wants to appear as a child of light. That's his job. He wants to appear as a child of light. And what you and I have to do, since we know the truth, since we are part of the truth, we've got Jesus Christ in us, you and I ought to be able to expose the lies of the enemy. There are people walking around all over the place just full of lies. They believe lies. They're living lies. And you and I have the truth. And as we get closer to other folks, we ought to be able to expose those lies and give them the truth. Give them the truth. Give them the truth. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, "And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light." As an angel of light. Listen, this verse 14 of the passage. It says, "For this reason," it says, "awake, sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine in you." This is a quote from several passages, many being from the book of Isaiah. Many being from the book of Isaiah. And you got to understand, during Isaiah's time, Israel experienced dark days. Just like we are, Israel experienced dark days during Isaiah's time. Empires were rising and falling. And Isaiah's very own nation, Israel, was in great peril. However, God used Isaiah. God used Isaiah to shine and speak through him during this time. Listen, we get verses like Isaiah 40:31 says this. This is Isaiah speaking to the nation of Israel during these dark days. He says, "Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." These are passages of scripture that God used Isaiah to shed light in the midst of a dark generation. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God used Isaiah during dark days. And the question is, or the issue is, that God wants to use you and you and you and you and me to shed light during these dark days. He wants to manifest his glory in his people. You know, that's the greatest joy about being a Christian, is when God's glory can be revealed through you. Oh, there's nothing greater than that. That's nothing greater than to have the glory of Almighty God reveal himself through a human being such as you and me. No, I know y'all not hearing me this morning. The greatest joy is for God to reveal his glory through a dirt bag, through a sinner, for somebody who didn't know anything about him, but to take dirt and reveal his glory through him. There's nothing greater, and God wants to get glory from his creation. Oh, there's nothing greater. There's nothing greater. He wants to manifest his glory through you and I. And here it is. Shining is not an option. Do y'all hear me this morning? Shining is not an option. Matthew 5:14-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house." Here it is. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Shining is not an option. God expects his people to shine. He expects us to shine. Amen? And we cannot allow the darkness of this world to snuff out our light, especially in times like these. Number six, we must seek God's will. We must seek God's will for this season of our lives. Amen. We must seek God's will for this season of our lives. Look at verse 15. It says, "Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." We must seek God's will for this season of our lives. Listen, there is no time for wasting time. Let me just say it like that. There's no time for wasting time. There's no time for wasting time. Listen, it is unwise to go crocodile hunting in North Dakota in January. That's a waste of time. Amen? If you want to go crocodile hunting, you got to catch crocodile season. It's not the season in the wintertime to go crocodile hunting in North Dakota. That's a waste of time. Amen, amen, amen. And what you and I have to find out, understand the season, the times in which we live. This is an evil time. This is an evil time. And this is not the time to be chasing waterfalls. No, I talked about that a couple of weeks ago for y'all that missed it. Chasing waterfalls, stuff that ain't going to add up to nothing, emptiness. TLC said, don't go chasing waterfalls. And this is not the season to be chasing after things that are empty, things that don't mean nothing. You and I ought to be pursuing the will of God during this season. During this season. That's important. That it's unwise to be doing things that God has not even called you to do at this season of your life. Listen, times are just too dangerous for us to be fooling around, wasting God's time. And things that don't matter. That's not being wise. That's unwise. But those that are wise, wise men are in touch with the season that they're in. They are in touch with what God is doing in this season of their lives. That's the question that you must ask yourself. God, what are you doing during this season of my life? God, in the season in which we're living, in the times in which we're living, in all these things that we're experiencing, all these things that's going on, God, what is it that I need to be doing as a Christian right now? That's wisdom, trying to figure out what God wants you to do. You want to really know how to figure out what God wants you to do? Just live holy. Live holy. In other words, give it all up for him. Say, God, here I am. You know, that's what Isaiah did. That's what Isaiah did. Isaiah got to that place. Isaiah saw the need of the times, and God summoned Isaiah. And Isaiah said, here am I. Send me. Send me. Send me. That should be our plea. All of us. All of us. Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Here am I. Send me. Listen. Let me say this also. Because of seasons. You got to understand seasons. That's the Greek word for this part of seasons is kairos. It's an age. It's a period of time, not chronological, but a period of time that there's certain things going on in our lives, and we need to make the most of that season, that age of our time, and we need to ask God what it is, God, that you want me to do. And you got to understand this. Things that worked in past seasons may not work in this season. No. Things that worked in former seasons may not work in this season. Listen, I want y'all to really hear me, particularly related to the church. I want y'all to hear me. Listen, church as we knew it back in the day, that season is gone. Y'all better wake up and see the times in which we live. Listen, we've got a generation of people who don't know nothing about church. We were raised in Baptist Training Union. We were raised with Sunday school. We were raised with all of these different things. But listen, there's a generation that have never stepped foot in a church. Listen, y'all, we have a generation right now who have never put on a suit. I know what I'm talking. I work with youth all the time. And you've got to understand, in our approach, as the body of Christ, we better be real careful how we approach certain people, because some of those seasons are gone. And we're trying to hold on. And what we realize, I've shared this story so many times. I grew up in a neighborhood with 20 churches within a 2-mile radius. And right now, every one of those churches probably got about 20 people in them. I know what I'm talking about. They got about 20 people in them. You know why? Because they're still trying to operate in a season that's gone. That's gone. That's gone. And you and I got to understand the age and the season in which we're in, and we got to ask God to give us wisdom on how to minister to people. Minister to people and get the, and the issue is salvation. That's the heart of the matter, is salvation. Salvation is not about what we wear. It's not about how we look. None of that matters. It's about salvation. When you stand before Jesus Christ, he's not going to ask you what kind of suit you wore. I'm telling you, he's not going to ask you what kind of building you had. He's not concerned about it. The only thing that's going to matter is, do you have the blood of Jesus covering you? It's the only thing that matters. But we got to understand the age and the seasons in which we are living. And the Bible tells us in the scripture that the days are evil. That's what the scripture says. The days are evil. We live in evil times. All you got to do is cut the news on and you see it. You see it. And listen, we got to make the most of our time. We got to redeem the time. John 9:4 says this: I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. Verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus made the most of his time in 33 and a half years. Jesus made the most of his time in 33 and a half years. And he did ministry for 3.5 years. And look what he did. Look what he did. Look what he did. And for agape, it's time for us to turn up the love. Say, turn up the love. Turn up the love. One more time. Turn up the love. It's time for us to turn up the love. Listen, as lawlessness increases, most people's love will grow cold, but may that not be the testimony for us here at Agape Christian Church? Amen. As Christians, we're to turn up the love and invest in the lives of a younger generation who knows not the Lord, not only in age, but even spiritually. Verse 17 says, so then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Here it is. What kingdom impact are you having in the midst of this evil season? What kingdom impact are you having? Are you having right now in the midst of these evil times? Since we understand that Christ's return is soon, what are you doing now to impact this evil society? That's a personal question for all of us, for every one of us. We should be seeking to live and fulfill God's purpose and God's plan for our lives in this season. In this season, the night is coming when no man can work. Whatever you got to do it right now. Amen. And young people, listen. Young people, this whole thing about, well, I'll begin serving when I get old. Who promised you tomorrow? Amen. Listen, you can't really go to a public place now without fear of losing your life. So whatever you're going to do for him, it needs to start right now. We need to get busy for the kingdom right now, because the days are evil. The days are evil. Finally, number 7. We must continue to have spirit-filled worship with one another. We must continue to have spirit-filled worship with one another. Verses 18 through 20. 18 through 20, it says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Paul is saying right here in verse 18, Paul is saying that getting drunk with wine really leads to abnormal behavior. I'm coming down the aisle. He says, do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. In other words, what Paul is saying is that wine causes abnormal behavior. Amen. I'm not just wine, that other kind, all the other kinds, whatever your kind was. Y'all caught that was. But if I got any real folks in there, how many of you know that some of that stuff caused abnormal behavior? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Wine causes abnormal. He says, don't be drunk with that, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, be drunk with the Spirit, because the Spirit can also cause abnormal behavior. Anybody know what I'm talking about this morning? Anybody ever been filled with the Spirit this morning and you find yourself doing things that you thought you'd never do? You find yourself going places that you never thought to go simply because you've been filled with the Spirit of God. Don't be drunk with that other stuff. Look, I want a high that don't come down. Hey, when you're filled with the Spirit, you're always up in the Spirit of God. When he has his way, when he's in control, you ain't got to worry about coming down. You ain't even got to worry about a hangover. Well, I take that back. You might get a spiritual hangover. Hey, it gets so good. You wake up Monday morning still dancing, still running, still shouting because you got a spiritual hangover. But to be filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. You know, that was a name we had for that stuff. It was called liquid courage. It's called liquid courage. It make you do stuff that you normally wouldn't do. But understand, I want you to understand something. Being filled with the Spirit is not getting more of the Spirit. No. You get the whole thing at salvation. You get all of him at salvation. Amen. So one writer put it like this. Each Christian has all of the Spirit, but the command according to this text here is that the Spirit has all of him. That's the question, because we get the full filling at salvation. But the question is, does the Spirit of God have you? Is he in control? Is he in control? And we were to live Spirit-filled lives. Then he says this, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Now notice that Paul says to one another. He says to one another, look at the text. It says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, which means that this has to be done publicly. Did y'all catch that? You know, that whole thing about I don't have to go to church. This erases that right here. We need each other. We need each other. And he says, speaking, which means this has to be done in public. Now, I understand. I know everybody is not the type that jumps up and shouts and do. I understand that. I get that. But can I tell y'all something? When the Holy Spirit is really in charge, sometimes you may say, I'm not going to do this or I'm not going to do that. But the Holy Spirit has a way of getting a hold of you, and you find yourself up out that seat, clapping, dancing, shouting, not doing things that you never thought abnormal, because that's not normally how you function. But because of the Holy Ghost in charge, you react differently. Listen, Hebrews 2:12 says this, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you in the midst of the assembly. That's public. That's public, y'all. And the darker it gets, the closer we get to Christ's return, the worse things get, how bad things are getting, we ought to come together even more. That's what the Hebrews writer says. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. The closer we get to Christ's return, we ought to be fellowshipping more, having Spirit-filled worship even more. Listen, when things get real bad, I guarantee you there'll be church service that nobody planned for. I guarantee it. But listen, he says, and speaking to one another in Psalms, listen, Israel, Psalms is Israel's collection of hymns and songs. That's what the word Psalms means. This is Israel's collection of hymns and songs. There are 150 Psalms that are written and recorded in Scripture, 150, most of which were written by David, and then others wrote them as well as Moses and sons of Korah and Asaph and all of that. But the Psalms were Israel's collection of psalms. One of them was Psalm 34. It says, I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who heals your sicknesses, who forgives all your iniquity. And then Psalms 150 says, let everything that had breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Those are Psalms. That was Israel's collection of Psalms. But then he says hymns. He said hymns. Listen, these are songs that have been composed by other Christians. Spiritual songs, spiritual songs that have been composed by other Christians, songs like Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, that saved a wretch like me. Blessed Assurance, Jesus is my all. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Songs like What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All my sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Songs like Great Is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness, Lord, unto me. These are hymns that have been recorded by other Christians. But then he goes on to say spiritual songs. Spiritual songs. You know what? I came up with my own definition of that. That's the song that the Spirit of God just gives you whenever you need a song. Spiritual songs. You may find yourself humming. Somebody say, what's that? I don't know. The Spirit gave it to me. Hey, I'm just caught up in the Spirit right now. These are spiritual songs, spiritual songs. And this is what you and I ought to do amongst each other as times get darker, as things get rougher, as the way gets tougher. You and I ought to encourage one another, worship with one another in spirit and in truth. Listen, Paul, the writer of Ephesians, Paul knew something about praising God during difficult times. He knew something about praising God during difficult times. How many of y'all remember that message called That's My Song? That's my song. That's my song. Listen, everybody in there, you ought to have a song when you're going through. Have I got a witness in here? But Acts chapter 16, 25 through 26, it says, but about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prison house was shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Everyone's chains were unfastened. In other words, Paul began singing his song at midnight. Paul began worshiping God at midnight. And I shared with you all how everybody in there pretty much has their own song. That when your song come on, it does something.